Welcome back. In this lesson, we're doing something very old school, very effective, and honestly very fun. Pulling a chop drum and bass performance from session view into arrangement view in Ableton Live 12, then shaping it into a proper track. If you make jungle, rollers, breakled tech step, or anything that needs that rough, human, controlled chaos energy, this workflow is gold. The whole idea is simple. First you sketch and jam in session view. Then you record the best bits into arrangement view. Then you tighten the timeline into a tune that actually moves like a record, not just a loop. And for this style, that matters. Old school D-Den beat is all about energy, variation, and a little bit of dirt. Not sloppy dirt, but intentional imperfection. That's the vibe. So let's build this properly. Start by setting your project up for drum and bass. Get your tempo around 172 to 174 BPM. 173 is a really nice middle ground if you want that classic pace. Keep it in 4/4, turn warp on for audio clips, and set your global quantization to 1 bar so your launches stay musically locked in. That 1 bar grid is going to help your performance feel solid while still giving you room to get expressive. Now lay out your tracks in a way that makes sense when you move into arrangement view later. I'd suggest a main chopped break track, a tops or percussion track, a bass track, an atmospherics track, an effects track, and maybe a vocal chop or regga snippet track if you want that extra movement. The reason we organize this early is simple. When you record the jam, you want the arrangement to stay readable. Now for the heart of the lesson, the break. Choose a source break with character. Amen. Think Apache. Funky drummer. Something raw from a good break pack. Anything that already has attitude. Drag it into an audio clip slot and make sure it's warped, but don't overpolish it. A classic mistake is making the break too clean. Old school D&B doesn't need sterile perfection. It needs punch, grit, and swing. If the break feels too stiff or too smudged, switch the warp mode to beats. Try preserve values like 1/16 or 1/8, and keep the transient handling sensible. If you're hearing too much mush, reduce the number of warp markers and let the break breathe a bit more naturally. At this point, you've got two good ways to chop it. One way is to use simpler in slice mode. Drag the break into simpler, set it to slice, slice by transient, and map it to MIDI. That gives you a very playable old-school chop instrument, and it's excellent if you want to perform the rhythm like a drummer. The other way is to stay in audio land and manually chop the clip across multiple slots. Duplicate the break, create snare-only fragments, kick snare patterns, little filled pieces, and even reverse microchops. This approach can feel a little more ragged and jungle-ish, which is exactly what you want if you're chasing that classic chopped-up energy. Now give the break a useful processing chain. Nothing crazy, just enough to make it hit harder and sit right. EQ 8 first, high pass a little if there's low rumble you don't need, maybe around 30 to 40 Hz. If it feels boxy, notch a bit around 250 to 400 Hz. If it needs more snap, you can add a tiny lift in the top end around 6 to 10 kHz. Then maybe drum bus for a bit of drive and punch. Then saturator with soft clip on, just a touch, to thicken it up. And if you want glue, a gentle glue compressor can help, but don't smash the life out of it. You want transients. You want movement. You want the break to breathe. Next, create variation. This is where session view becomes more than just a place to loop. It becomes your performance pad. On the main break track, make a few different clips. One can be the straight loop. One can have ghost notes or extra little hits. One can be a fill with more snare activity. One can be stripped back for intros or breakdowns. Do the same on the bass track. Make a main riff, a busier answer pattern, a stabby variation, and maybe a filtered or muted version for tension. On your effects track, load up some reverse hits, impacts, downlifters, and noise rises. The important mindset here is that each clip should have a role. Think of session view like a scoring pad, not a playlist. One clip is tension, one is weight, one is release. If every clip is the main idea, the arrangement gets crowded fast. Now let the clips actually behave like music. Set your launch quantization to 1 bar for most things, and use legato when you want clips to keep their musical timing. Main loops should loop cleanly, but fills and atmospheres can be a little more flexible. Follow actions can be useful too, especially on top layers, textures, and evolving effects, but keep it subtle. The goal is movement, not chaos for its own sake. Here is a good rule in drum and bass. Don't let clip transitions feel random. The bar grid is your friend. Main break loop on every bar. Fill clip right before a turnaround. Bass variation on bar 8 or 16. FX hit on the first beat of a new section. That's how you keep it dance floor functional. Now build a performance in session view. A simple 16-bar map works really well. Bars 1 to 4 can be atmospheres and a filtered break intro. Bars 5 to 8 bring in the main break, maybe with the bass still filtered or absent. Bars 9 to 12 let the bass hit full weight and bring in top percussion. Bars 13 to 16 can be the fill, a stop, or a drum switch to build tension. Perform it. Launch clips manually. Mute and unmute layers. Trigger one-shot fills. Move filters in real time if you've mapped them. If you have a controller, even better. Map clip launch, track mutes, macro knobs, and scene launch so you can play the arrangement like an instrument. And here's a really important coach note. Record with imperfect intention. A slightly late clip launch, a chopped fill that lands a hair behind the grid, a texture that slips in just before the bar line. That can all sound alive. The trick is knowing the difference between musical imperfection and actual sloppiness. We want attitude, not mistakes that distract from the groove. Once your performance feels good, switch over to arrangement view and record it. Arm arrangement record, hit play, and let Ableton capture the clip launches and mute moves onto the timeline. Don't chase perfection on the first pass. What you want is a strong musical skeleton you can edit into shape afterward. And yes, after recording, the arrangement may look messy. That's completely normal. In fact, it's a good sign. It means you captured a real performance instead of a pre-planned loop. Now do a clean-up pass. Trim any dead space. Check clip boundaries. Make sure your transitions land on bar lines. Remove accidental triggers. Then start thinking in D&B structure. A classic shape might be an intro for 16 bars, a build for 8, a 32-bar drop, a breakdown for 16, another 32-bar drop, and a 16-bar outro. If you want something more DJ-friendly and underground, you can do a 16-bar intro, 32-bar main body, 8-bar switch, 32-bar second body, and a 16-bar outro. The big thing is this. The arrangement should evolve every 8 or 16 bars. That doesn't mean you need huge changes all the time. It could be a snare fill. It could be a bass dropout. It could be a new hat pattern. It could be a reversed break tail. Small changes matter a lot in this genre. Also, don't be afraid to commit to a section before you edit it. A lot of people keep relaunching the same clip chain forever, trying to make it perfect in session view. But eventually you have to stop performing and start listening like an audience member. Make your pass, commit it, and then shape the track. Now we get into the arrangement itself. Use automation to make the tune come alive. Auto filter cutoff is a classic. Reverb send on atmospheres. Delay throws on snares or vocal chops, distortion movement on the bass during drop sections, and a bit more drum bus drive when you want extra lift in a second drop. Utility is also very handy for keeping sub-mono and handling gain staging. Echo can give you those dubby tail-outs and drum throws. Reverb can open up breakdowns without drowning the drums. Saturator and Redux are great if you want extra grime. A really effective old-school move is to cut the drums for a beat or a bar before the drop, and then slam them back in. Another one is to bring in a filtered break and gradually open the top end. You can also do a bass call and response every 4 bars so the track keeps talking to itself. And if you want a drop to feel huge, automate the sub out during the breakdown so the return hits harder. One thing to watch is low-end discipline. Old-school D&B can get muddy fast if the break, bass, and FX all fight in the sub region. Keep the sub mono. Leave space for the kick and snare. If the groove needs breathing room, use subtle sidechain compression. On the bass, EQ out mud if needed, add harmonics so it translates on smaller speakers, and don't stack too many low layers unless you really know why they're there. That's another important arrangement principle. Keep the drop readable. If the groove is complex, the arrangement should be simpler. If the arrangement gets busy, the drums should be more direct. Don't fight for attention on every lane. Let one element stay unstable, like the top break layer or a texture that shifts every few bars, and keep the rest clear. A nice advanced technique is to build phrase families instead of random variations. So instead of making a dozen unrelated clips, create a bass phrase, a response phrase, a fill phrase, and an empty phrase. Launch them in a predictable cycle, then break the pattern at the end of every 8 or 16 bars. That gives you tension without sounding messy. You can also use density swaps. Instead of always adding more parts, swap what kind of density the track has. Remove the kick but keep the break energy. Remove the hats but keep the ghost notes. Remove the bass weight but keep the upper harmonics. Sometimes a change in spectral density feels bigger than adding another instrument. Another really useful move is call and answer between the break and the bass. Let the bass make a statement, then let the drums answer with a fill or punctuation. Then flip it. That push-pull is a big part of classic drum and bass movement. If you want the arrangement to feel engineered rather than looped, add small structural events, a one-beat mute before a snare impact, a two-beat bass dropout before the second half of a phrase, a one-bar drum subtraction before a new section, a one-shot FX sting on the first beat of a new block. These tiny gestures make the tune feel composed. Now for the final pass. Listen like a DJ and like a dancer. Does each 8-bar block have a purpose? Does the groove evolve? Is there a clear drop impact? Are the bass changes musical instead of random? Could a DJ actually mix into or out of this? If the answer is yes, you're close. If it still feels too loop-like, don't add more parts first. Change where the existing parts appear. That's often the smarter move. So let's recap the workflow.